just like to keep you guessing now, that's all. It just seemed like you just were doing so good, you just needed to keep hearing her voice to finish all that out. Are you good today? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Such a good, good day. God is here and he is in it. And we're thankful for that. Hope you're enjoying life and you're living it good. And you're living it on purpose. They probably told you this, but there's some things out there to help you when you go vote. Some guides. Somebody asked me the other day, can you take those in? You can take those in the voting booth with you. You can even, we even have stuff on our cell phone. You can, but anyway, they're there to help you just as a guide so you know who is standing for what. And it's important that your voice is put out there. We live in a free country, a free nation. And let's keep it that way. Our liberties and stuff, it seems like they get threatened by a lot of different things. But, if I got a voice, I think we need to use it if we're doing it for the good. Amen? Amen. Well, we've been talking about the listening ear. This is actually week 7, and it just continues. There's so much because we should be walking with God every day and listening to him all the time and hearing what he's telling us and all those things. And we don't always hear what's actually being said, do we? Have your ears ever played, your senses played tricks on you? You know, a magician deals with deception, doesn't he? Or what you think you saw but didn't really happen or whatever. And your ears do that too. I hear a lot of things for years. I've thought the song said this. And my kids to this day laugh because we'll be in the car and I will say something. And my wife will go, wait a minute, what did you just say? Then I already know for all these years I messed it up. I've said something. I'm going to play a clip for you. And I want you to listen because you're going to hear it. And I mean, I grew up when Disney was a lot more pure, so to speak. And I loved my favorite in Walt Disney was Peter Pan. I loved Peter Pan. And I loved all about Peter Pan. I could watch it over and over again as a kid, my favorite. Well, in the song, there is a phrase, and I want you to hear it. I'll just let him play the song, and then we'll go from there, okay? Listen.
It's the same as having wings.
Take the path that moonbeams make.
What'd you think it said? It sounds like it says he can play it again in a minute. Think of Batman pooping snakes. That's not what it says. But that's what it sounds like it says. It actually says take the path that moonbeams take or something like that. Play it one more time, Ron.
It's the same as having wings.
Take the path that moonbeams make.
I know for some of you, I've just ruined that for a long time. You'll never see that the same. What I'm trying to get across to you is, because life is the way life is, we think we hear something. If you're married, you know your spouse, husband or wife, you said something and they said, this is what you said, and you're like, that is not what I said. I did not talk about Batman pooping snakes, honey. But this is what I said. But, we do that with God. God will tell us something, and we hear it through our own filter. He's told me to do things, and I heard it one way, and I never finished to let him finish. In other words, I was like, okay, I heard you, I'm out. He still had more to say. He could have given me instructions, but did I listen? No. So later, found out, like, hey, you told me I could do this, and he said, you didn't stick around. Hearing God and responding with actions that follow the instructions. What is it to, if we really think about it, to have God Almighty talk to us? The creator of the universe talk to us. That's huge. I mean, do you think he hasn't enough to do? You think we're busy? What would it be like to be God? I mean, a universe to run, billions of people crying out to him. all the time, keeping track of everything you could imagine. And yet, he is so great and so powerful, he wants to talk to you personally. That's crazy. I mean, not crazy, but you know. He wants to talk to us individually. John 10:3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. We talked about that last week. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So he knows your name. There's more scripture. We could be here all day. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Some of us were like, we made it easier for him. But he knows you. And he can call you by name. It's personal. It's specific to you and for you. Welcome online, by the way. I'm sorry I forgot to say hi to you. It's his personal will to have a relationship for each one of us to him. He wants to talk to you, spend time with you, be around you. Really not always for something to do, but just to have fellowship with you. We kind of model that, we should, in our married relationship. We don't always have to, hey, I need you to get this. I need something from you. What if we just gave wonderful hugs or just a squeeze on the hand to say, you know what, I love you, or you're beautiful, or you tell your kids, just, hey, I'm so proud of you. They didn't have to do anything. It just was something you wanted to do. Now, during COVID, if you remember, that was no fun. Everybody was supposed to be isolated. You know, we had Carmen here for a concert, packed the place out during COVID. I thought they'd shut it down, but they didn't. I mean, I was like, I'm going to keep. I had other ministers like, you can't do that. No, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, we're doing it. So we did it. And we just told everybody, you can wear a mask if you want to. We have the, whatever the squirt stuff is, and antibacterial stuff. People are taking baths in it. We had all that, but we just said, we can't do 6 feet apart. If you want to be 6 feet apart, this isn't your place. You know, is he bigger than COVID? Oh, yes. So we had a great concert, but during that, people were just reported being lonely. They were isolated, you know, and all of that. So it was just like separated from everything. So people in masks standing at least 6 feet apart, and there's all those signs and all that stuff. Oh, please keep, you know, everything needed to be sanitized. They said the rates of suicide went up over 5%. Or five times higher, not 5%, five times higher than what they were. So let me correct that. Some people just couldn't cope because they were so codependent on people. And I get that. And I'm not saying you can't have relationships. You're supposed to have relationships. We're supposed to have fellowship. We want a relationship with God. But that has to be our number one. But people, there's people who are just like, I can't deal with that. We've all experienced some kind of loneliness. I think everybody in here could say at one time or another you've been lonely. So I started rethinking this as I was writing. I started saying, okay, And this has helped me. If I know now that God wants to spend time with me, so when I'm alone, I'm really not alone. Because he's always with me. I have Jesus who lives inside me. Our spirits are united. They are one. So I can talk to him as long as I want. He encourages me to keep going. Don't quit, Brett. Keep it up. You're doing good. So knowing that fact, in some cases, makes me go, I just want to go be alone with Jesus. I want to go talk to God. You ever just said, because sometimes PK will be like, things are just happening. She'll say, I'm taking a drive. You know what she's doing? Her and God are going to have a chat, but she's going to be in the car probably driving, you know, somewhere to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's just like, I need that time. So my personal time with him is even richer because I know he wants to be with me. He wants to talk to me. He wants to fellowship. Have you ever talked to someone that you know doesn't want to talk to you? Or the whole time you're talking to him, they are looking at you or looking away or... It kind of just like, I don't even know why I'm talking to you. I've known people that they want to talk to me until they get what they want. When they get what they want, they're done. And they're done talking. They don't respond. How about that with texting now? They'll text you. You can be in mid-bubble. You're looking, and they're talking to you, and you're like, they're talking, they're going about it, and then it stops. They have dropped you in mid-bubble. Something wrong with that. So the truth is this. Jesus will never drop you. He'll never disconnect the line. He's always there. He will always be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So I had to change my focus and be focused. So in other words, if I'm going to be alone, God is always with me. So I want to focus on who's with me. And I won't have to experience what the enemy wants me to experience. I can experience what God has for me. Have you ever seen somebody get healed, like in a service or whatever, and you knew God did that? You almost are like a deer in the headlights, like, oh man. Hey, I just got to speak at Pastor Gary's church Tuesday. I got to speak to I don't know how many youth were there. There's a bunch. And I had told them different stories that happened in camp. And at one camp, there was just this powerful anointing for delivering people from the hands of the enemy. And I mean, I didn't go in there asking for it. I didn't go in there saying, oh. But it was just like it was just happening. Things were just happening. And then inside, it was just like God was right there saying, bind that, rebuke it, tell it to go. And I'd be like, I bind this, I rebuke. And I would see things happen, and the kids behind me or beside me were like, whoa! And, I mean, inside I was going, whoa too! But it was so cool. It was like, God, you are awesome. So then, after a couple, I'm like, give me another one. Because the anointing, you see, God's will is that you be well. You be whole and healthy and happy, and your joy may be full. I remember in one service here at TLC, the Lord told my sister, and it kind of blew me away, and she shared it later. I don't know if she took some time to share it, but she said, I was preaching. Now, again, let me just, this is not me patting myself on the back. Can't reach my back too well. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make a point. I can't tell yours because I don't know yours. I can only tell you what's happened to me. So I was preaching, and the Lord said something to her, and this is what she relayed to me. He said this to her. He represents me well, doesn't he? And she told me that later, and I was like, what? Now, you might think that sounds, but see, I'm like, he's complimenting me? He's busy. He's got more things to do than. I mean, do you ever feel like I'm just doing something and I don't even know if it matters? I mean, I don't feel that way. I know it matters, but you know, you're just kind of like, that just kind of took me. He is praising something I did. So I want to peel this back for just a second. So before you think this is about me, this isn't about me. This is the only example I could think of. If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody tell me what the theme to that is. And yet it keeps going, you know? I mean, so that's the SWAT theme, by the way, so I already know whose phone that is. That's my dad back there. I've lost him, you see? So what I'm saying is, if he gave his son to die for you, would that make a little more sense that he is proud of you or he loves you? And he is like a good father saying, keep it up. Good job. You're doing that so well. I mean, it doesn't mean you still don't need work and you haven't. Nobody's ever arrived. But I'm saying, if he loved you enough to die for you, to encourage you. He'll build you up because you are one of his sheep. Do you think that the shepherd doesn't groom the sheep when they come in? He doesn't take the burrs out of their coat. He doesn't take the things out there. He doesn't check them for this. He takes care of his sheep. God always supplies his will, always. Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You have to let the Lord be magnified. So if he wants to say, I like using you, you think did he use Mal this morning? Yes. Did he use the praise team? Yes. But sometimes this is what we do. We get all religious on everything. People just be, oh, and we have to make sure, well, we're not trying to take the glory. God gets all the glory. You know, if I've prayed for someone and they got healed, I did not heal them. The Spirit of God healed them. I'm the jumper cable connected to the source. The whole theme for that youth thing on Tuesday was polarized. I showed him a clip from Home Alone where the guy wipes the stuff off his face and he grabs the sink down in the basement. Ooh! Man, the students are like, yeah, yeah, okay. When you connect something dead to something alive, something's happening. So we need to be understanding that polarized. I mean, talk about a nation that's polarized right now, right, wrong. He says, thank you. Sometimes religion will say, well, we can't say, well, you're welcome. You know, sometimes I'll just say, well, the Lord has been so good to me, but thank you. Yeah, and I get that, and I'm okay with that. But if you won't allow God to even say, you did a great job, sis. You did a great job, son. He's not going to keep trying. He's not going to force it. He's not going to keep trying to push it down your throat. He still does it. He still believes it. He's not taking it back. But if you won't listen to it, he's not going to keep doing it. How many think that God does anything and it's just by accident? He doesn't do any accident. You know, in France, they greet each other with a kiss on each cheek. I love people. Don't get me wrong. But if there's kisses dished out on cheeks, the only one I want to get it from is the woman down in the front. If she's giving me kisses on the cheeks, I'm in. But we tell our greeters, don't greet everybody with a kiss on the cheek. Welcome to True Life. We even tell our greeters, don't hug people. Some people don't like to be hugged. Some people like their space. I get that. Some people aren't huggers, and boy, when you get hugged and you're not a hugger, it's like, please stop. Some people don't mind being hugged. Some people want to be hugged. Some people don't want you to hug them. They don't know you. So we just tell them just to make sure they feel welcome. We would offend people if we started kissing everybody on the cheek. In Rome, do as the Romans do, they say. Look around, Spanky, we're not in Rome. So let's just do what we should do, all right? We don't want people to be uncomfortable. We still love them, and we still say thanks for coming, but I don't have to hug you, and I don't have to kiss your cheek. My point is God's wanting to speak to us all the time. But we're the hinge that door swings on. We're the ones that either listen or we don't. We allow him to say something, he's going to say it, but we don't hear it, or we do hear it. We receive it, or we don't. If we haven't tuned our ears to his speaking, we don't listen, we don't hear it. But there's never a time that we don't need it. If God wants to tell you something, you need it. He's not just doing it. You need it. Sometimes I just haven't listened. So much background noise of the world. See, we've talked about this in a few weeks ago. We have to purposely ask, seek, and knock. You got a mountain in front of you? Ask God, what do I do? You got an enemy in front of you? God, how do I fight? I mean, why take a knife to a gunfight? God, what do I do? What do you want me to do? I mean, if God tells you, you can take a water gun to hell and win. I mean, if he tells you. But you just got to say, God, what do I do? And listen for what he tells you. He may say, be still and know that I'm God. And he might not tell you to do the same thing every time. Hey, this time the enemy's coming up the backside of the hill. I want you to do this. That's a good idea because I did not know that. Now, I've been with Kim 39 years. There could be a room full of people shouting my name or saying my name. I could still pick out her voice because of the way she says my name. Because I like it. I could pick it out. See, that's my experience and my longevity and time with her. I have developed the hearing ear. That's like God. He's always speaking, but your experience and your longevity of just listening to him and spending time with him, you will develop the hearing ear. You'll be able to hear him and be able to know, I know that was God. You can recognize it. And remember, we talked, he speaks not head to head, but spirit to spirit. Your spirit will know when he speaks. Sometimes you could be doing something totally not thinking about God. Has this ever happened besides anybody but me? You're doing something and all of a sudden, you just get this God thought and you're like, what? And the more you think about it, you're like, that's my answer. He just told me my answer. I wasn't even, but it was something I asked him the day before or whatever. Your spirit will know when he speaks. If you're like, well, I hear this and I got five senses, I get it. But if whatever you're hearing, you don't need God to accomplish whatever that is, probably just you. God will give you ideas, concepts, but you will need him to finish it because they'll be bigger than you. You can't do it on your own. You will require him to complete it. When he told me to start this church, he just told me the name of the church, gave me the scripture. I've never started a church. I've pastored before, but I never started a church. And he didn't say, Brett, here's your 5-year plan. He did not. I just like, what do I do? And so I had to put my hand to it. Come on. You see, if you don't put your hand to something he says in heaven, math is still the same. Zero is zero in heaven. He'll bless the work of your hands. So I start, okay, if I was starting a church, what do I got to do? What do the laws require? So this is what I need. So then I started researching that, and I started doing that. I started asking people that I trusted and I knew had done things like that. And I got some answers, and then I would pray about those answers, and then I would get peace. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 8:9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The Greek word for one in the last scripture I read is heis, or heis, H-E-I-S, and it means singular one to the exclusion of the other. It means identical. That's what it means, identical. So your born-again spirit and Jesus' spirit are one. They are identical. So you can know all things through your connection in the spirit. Not in your natural, but in your spirit. 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Man. So then in every situation, if I was a smart man, I would ask Jesus, how do I do this? What do I need? What do I need to do? So if we connect and we talk spirit to spirit because they're already connected, then we can know everything Jesus knows. So God communicates not from the outside, in, but from the inside out. He'll tell you things. Don't go home this way. I need you to go this way. Okay. And you go and you miss an accident. You didn't know about the accident, but he did. And how does he tell you? Through your spirit. Because that's what's connected. You know, they talk to each other. You may hear, I believe God is wanting me to do this. It might translate to you, this is what I want to do now. I want to do this. Because your spirit discerns whether it's God or not. That's how you know. There's one of those things. I'm going to get there. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, listen to this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here's the easy way you can get God involved on your adventure. He's number one. You ask, seek, and knock, obviously. But you remember I gave you my story. In the beginning, when I met Kim, my only plans were to be Mr. America by the time I was 30. I had just left managing a fitness center. They had offered me like 5 more clubs. And so, I was like, I don't know if I want to do that because I wasn't really trusting the company. So I went back and worked at the one I worked at before, got a couple other part-time jobs, da-da-da-da-da. Couldn't find the woman of my dreams. I gave up for that and said, God, I'm not doing it anymore. And then the woman of my dreams walks by and the rest is history. I still can see her in that little Ponderosa outfit. That's too much information. You don't need to know that. But it wasn't long until I had that God encounter and everything changed. He told me this is what he wanted me to do. I knew I had heard him, and I was miserable trying not to do what he told me. Does that make sense? See, I lost interest in what I thought, and I gained interest in what he thought. So now I changed everything to pursue what I believe he wanted me to do. And that wasn't really the favorite of everybody around. If you're waiting on everybody to approve everything you're going to do, you got a long wait. Because I'm just saying, people don't always rejoice when good things happen to you, but they want you to rejoice when they happen to them. We've been there on both sides. Some people said, I've seen him before. This is just a whim. This is a phase. It's a season. Just let it pass. I got support from Kim. I got support from my sister. My mom wasn't real surprised because she'd been telling me stuff since she could drag me to a church meeting. Charles and Charlotte were on board. I mean, just to say the least, though, the whole time, it wasn't really packed full of, ooh, that's a good thing. It was kind of lonely because everybody knew I was a class clown in my class. Go figure that. People hard to take me seriously. I mean, we had people, when I started the church and people knew who I was, they were like, oh, I am so, before when we talked about, yes, and I can't wait till you come back. If you ever come back here, we're coming to your church. None of those people come to my church. I've been back here. The church has been here for 20 years. They still don't come. They go somewhere else. They know me. They love me. But see, to them, I was always Brett, just the joker. That's okay. Romans 14:23, he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So I got to jump in on this, so just stay with me here. Most think that sin is doing something that's big, like murder or stealing. Whatever. That's sin. It is. We get it. But this is what would be, if I continued to pursue my own dreams, would God still love me? Absolutely. Would he change? Nope. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. But for me, it would be sin. Because I would not be pursuing what I was called to do. Does that make sense? So it would not gel with me. And I would feel like I'm hitting on 6 pistons instead of 8 or whatever you want to think. I just like, just kind of making it through life. Some of you right there are like, oh, he's talking to me. See, my communication level would be hindered because inside, some of y'all know God's already told you to do something and you ain't doing it. So you don't really want to listen to what he has to say because you already know. He's already told you. Sometimes people want, I want this. I want to go from A to Z, but what about B, C, D, E, F? I'm not saying God can't super nicely do some things, but I'm just saying, this, we want to be Elmer Fudd and own a mansion and a yacht, but yet you won't take care of what you got now. You know how he works. Show what you got now. Treat it with respect. Whatever. Do whatever you got to do. Be a good steward now when you have no money, or you won't be one when you do. Or matter of fact, you might not get it. But if you can prove yourself to say, you know what, God, I'm going to honor you, and no matter what happens, he'll promote you. So what I'm saying is, it's sin for doing what you know is wrong. It's also sin for not doing what you know is right. Does that make sense? If you're wrestling with an issue, what's God saying? What do you have a peace about? Trying to straddle indecision is misery. And it gives you a double mind. Now my mom, love my mom. So I don't think she's watching, but if she is, this is a great story. She's not here, so I can tell it. I'd tell it whether she's here or not. She worked at Dollywood. Dad and her, well, they worked at Walt Disney World for many years and worked at Dollywood. And she worked on a boat ride. And the ride was basically, you get on, and they were the people that when you came in, they tied the boat up to the dock, you know, and the people got in and out. Well, she would keep her foot on the boat, and this is the dock, and the boat would start going, and they would be like, Jeannie, bring your foot back. And she can't decide which foot to move or something. And five times, she hit the water. She was entertainment for everybody in line. What happened? Well, the worker just fell in the water. Let's fish her out. And she'd come in. Dad would pass her. He goes, you fell in again? She'd be like, She'd be drenched. You see, indecision will just make you miserable. Pick a side. I get it, you know. I mean, we got an election. Pick a side. There's good and there's bad. James 1, 7 and 8, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Don't weigh everything in your natural senses. Let your spirit, which is joined with Jesus, show you spirit to spirit. Colossians told us we need to let the peace of God rule our hearts. That word rule means to umpire, to judge, to make the call. That's what he does in baseball. You ever watch that umpire? He's behind the catcher. And you'll watch it. They'll even tell you how fast the ball goes. That was 94 miles an hour. And just on the outside, and he'll do something. Sometimes you're like, that was not as right. But see, from his viewpoint, he has to make the call and do what he says. Because what he calls is how it is. Unless you're in football, then they throw the contest flag, and then maybe that can be reviewed. But you make the call. So let the peace of God, the Spirit of God, be the umpire in your situation. If you don't have peace, there's a reason you don't have peace. So don't go forward. It doesn't mean you could never go forward, but it might be the timing is off. But you need to ask God, because your spirit is what's connected. Make a decision and go with what gives you the most peace. So if you make a decision, many times that choice can't be taken back. Sometimes you wish it could, don't you? But what would you do? So if I'm making the decision, if I choose this, what are the ramifications of choosing this? It might feel good to make a choice, but the ramifications would outweigh. Do I have peace about that? Does that make sense as well? What gives you the most peace? So when it comes to voting here before long, what candidate is best following the Bible? Whoever the candidate is, you're not going on vacation with them. You may not even hang out with them. You don't even have to agree with everything they do or how they live, what they say. But however, I want you to just ask yourself, who's the closest to the Bible that I could vote for? And that's what you should vote. Because your decisions in this election could affect your children and your kids' kids. Not just you. The peace of God, the listening ear. As they put on some altar music, I want you just to think about something real quick. Sometimes we're forced to make down the aisle decisions. You don't have much choice. If you're in a car and all of a sudden a car swerves out of your way, you got to go one way or the other, or there's going to be an accident. So you make that decision and you ride it out and you see what happens. We have the privilege in America to have some time to go before the Lord and ask for that peace, because our spirits are connected. God, how do you want me to do this? Not just election, but just living. But that election will affect your living. So we have to start saying, Lord, you are Lord of all. Not just when I like it or when I don't. Because there's a lot of things I wish I could redo. Wish I could change. I can't. So I just have to go forward and learn. What is God saying to you? What idea or concept does he have? And he says, hey, just make this little change. This is going to help your life be better. Or I've got an idea, a concept. Here's a business you could do. Brett, how do I find that out? Because your spirit's connected. You have to ask, seek, and knock, and then listen. You might get an idea that you're like, and you're like, that's nothing. And later find out, that was something. I should do that. This morning, I just challenge you. Seek the Lord. Put him first. I mean, really, I've seen signs that say, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Because that's scripture. But I've seen signs, in the morning, give me coffee, then give me Jesus. I don't want Jesus to ever be second place. Coffee can't give me anything that Jesus could take care of. You know what I'm saying? So if I put, how about give me Jesus, and while I'm having Jesus, I can enjoy some coffee. How about that? Just start thinking, God, what does it mean? Maybe it means you got to get up 20 minutes early and just say, I'm going to spend that 20 minutes with the Lord. Maybe it means I'm going to take this CD, I'm going to play it all the way to work, or I'm going to listen to this podcast. My challenge to you this morning, if you want to start hearing God, seven things or less. The less, probably easiest. Maybe the top three. What are three things that you could do that you know you need to do that you're not doing? Just what would they be? Maybe get up earlier. Maybe say, ask somebody to forgive you if you've wronged them. I don't know. But what is that? I have things I write down every day. And it'll change in this next year. But this year, this is what, you know, and I have 10 things I put down every day. I write them down. Do you know them? I could tell you what they are now. I know them by heart, but I write them down to keep them before my eyes so that I'm thinking about them from time to time. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So what I'm doing, is that going to accomplish those things I wrote down? If it's just time wasted, then I could better spend it somewhere else. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?